on the street and on the air.
Hi there, my name is Jabu Zwani, and I'm sipping the best tea in the city.
Kaya 959.
Jabu, good morning.
Good morning, you boys. How are you?
I am good, man. How are you doing?
Not too bad at all. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for making time and coming through, man.
No, absolutely. I couldn't say no.
No way. We sat with the team and we were going through all the men who are trying to also bring the narrative about men and also bring the topic to the fore.
Yeah.
And you're like, but who's able to cut through and bring our conversation forward? And I must say, I applaud you for how you think about these issues. You came out shoulders and head above them in terms of you are moving the conversation forward. And one of the things that came through for me and that really was highlighted is the fact that you spoke about how men lack boundaries.
Mm.
I was like, wait a minute. This is too sober. I don't like his tone, though. But I like it. This is sobering. What did you mean?
Well, I mean, we're not raised to have boundaries. From the very young age, a young boy sees a wall and thinks, I'm going to climb over it. We see a girl we like, we're thinking, okay, how am I going to convert that no into a yes? When we are walking around the street, you're imagining yourself as this Jackie Chan superhero guy person that can handle danger. So when we think of danger, we've got a different relationship to danger as men. Like, we are taught and raised to overcome that danger.
Yeah.
And that basically means that when you see a boundary, you see a challenge that you've got to overcome. And that plays into many different parts of your life as a result.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that becomes a problem as well.
Oh, yeah. It becomes a serious problem because then we don't always know how to say no to challenging things, especially sometimes when you don't have the capacity, whether capacity is time, whether that's money, whether that's energy, whether that's even knowledge. We just know that if a challenge is presented in our way, we've got to find a way to overcome it.
Give me an example.
A simple example is, wife comes and says, okay, bro, can we buy that X5?
Yeah.
And then you're thinking, but we don't have enough money.
Not
to pay this, yeah, this X5. Maybe we can have it in a year after we've saved, like we've agreed. But because it's a challenge and you are the man, you've overcome it, you're like, you know what, baby, don't worry, I'll make a plan. A couple of months later, end of the month, that ding ding comes in, insufficient funds. And that's what I'm saying, is that part of not having the boundaries is that we don't know how to articulate our inability to handle those challenges right now.
Okay.
And have a plan and have a sit down and discuss it, because if you don't know how to handle those challenges, then you don't feel like you're a man or man enough.
Is it because of, I know you've already gone there with the whole thing that, you know, we were raised that way. Is it because we always have this hero syndrome?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, we fantasize. It's one of our lusts as men. We have a hero lust syndrome. You know?
Sure.
Because that's our value. That's the value that is presented to us as who we are to society. And I can remember from a very young age, when I saw my sister suffering, when I saw my mother suffering, something came into my mind, as that my mind was that they will never, when I'm older,
as long as Ngpila,
this thing is not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen.
True.
You know, but when I got married, that became a massive challenge, because I'm so used, and they're so used to me just saying yes to whatever they're asking me.
Oh, and now you have a queen.
And now I've got a queen, and I'm thinking, I don't know what to do with this. You know, with the situation, I found myself caught up in between. And the challenge with the hero mentality that you conceive out of a longing to become to help your family is that you don't get to learn. It doesn't give you, or it rather challenges your ability to raise your own family, because you're still in your back of your mind, you're still having to deal with that hero mentality that you developed when you were still a kid.
Yeah.
But then what about your wife and what about your kids now? And that is a challenge that I see most of the times in marriages, is a fight, the battle that a man has in, do I take care of my mother, my sisters, my cousins, and my family? And how, where do I strike a line over there?
is this now the cause of this internal best, I'll even say internal combustion of emotions?
Mm-hmm.
He knows he means right, but the people he means right for are never happy.
Yeah.
Right? That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, and that breeds frustration.
Oh, yeah.
Is that why he's quiet?
This is why he's quiet. And remember, frustration is an emotion. And let's go back to the fact that, you know, we're not trained to handle emotions very well. So we don't have a language for a lot of these things. We don't have a language for frustration. For us, it's anger. Language for hurt is anger. Sadness is anger. Sorrow is anger. Confusion is anger. So anger is this quick shortcut.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To our emotional
through
experience.
All of this. Yeah,
this is a quick shortcut. And it quickly gives us
and
control.
And a downgrade from anger is frustration.
Exactly. It's you know, the frustration is just that is really downgrade, but it's also a prelude into anger. Like when I can't figure out what's going on, I don't have the solution, I'm presented with the challenges that I'm supposed to be a hero for, I don't have the means to be the hero. Quick control is anger. As soon as I get angry, everybody backs off of me, and I can get the time.
Oh, the room.
Yeah, I can get the room to breathe and to figure out, okay, what is the next plan? And so anger becomes this emotion that I use to actually gain control back when I feel like I'm losing control.
And now, when you have created that bubble, yeah, because it is.
It is.
And you're sitting there by your corner, your queen comes through.
Yeah.
Like a lioness that she is.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And says, talk to me. What happens to that bubble now?
There's a challenge with that. Do I admit to my queen that I'm having a hard time figuring out what's going on?
Now.
You know, but what happens to my hero complex? What happens to my hero points? I don't take away from my hero points.
Because anger doesn't allow you to show weakness.
Oh, heck no. Anger is a shield to show my weakness.
Come on now.
You know what I mean? It's a cover up. Because the moment I say I'm weak, and there are two things, let's be very honest here, Thibaut, there are two things.
Come on, Zwane.
Is she ready for me to be that weak? Or is she also conditioned to see me always as a hero? Because if I don't know how to be weak and she doesn't know how to see me weak, then we got a problem. And that is most of the time the challenge. Because here's the challenge. A lot of the times, one of the reasons why men end up actually just staying that way, they complain a lot about, you know, hijacked moments of vulnerability.
Hijack moments of vulnerability.
Exactly.
This was his moment, but it had to be hijacked.
It gets hijacked. And then, because she doesn't know how to handle him being weak, she's thinking, yo, if you're weak, I can't be weak. And she starts to talk about her own struggles. And what does this mean? Does it mean that the house is going to be taken? Does it mean that we're going to be poor?
Mm.
And the moment that he sees her now needing help and she goes into that space, guess what? He abandons his vulnerability. Now he's got to be a hero again. And now he's got to show her, no, you know what? It's fine. And then he will abandon the moment where he could have had a very intimate, vulnerable conversation and hand it over to you because now you need the help. And then he learns in that moment that, okay, in this situation, I can't do this anymore because I don't want to put her in that situation where she thinks that I can't protect her and I can't provide and I can't take care of the situations that are facing us. That's a massive challenge.
What you just said now, and I'm trying to phrase it in a way that will make a sister sit up and a man go, yer. So his yes, when those around him, those who look up to him for provision,
mm-hmm.
it's his weakness.
Yeah.
Him saying yes is a lack of boundaries.
Him saying yes is a lack of boundaries.
Even.
I say this all the time, especially to wives. The man that loves you very well will find it difficult to say no to you.
Of course.
Part of your responsibility is to be very mindful of what you ask him for. Because he's going to say yes to all the dreams that you sell to him. Because those dreams are an opportunity for him to become a hero and to step up and to be the man that he wants to be towards you.
Come on, man.
And if you don't, you know, manage your own longings, your own desires, and you keep on having these plans, you'll find that he says yes. But don't be surprised, Brother Thibaut, if you find a credit card statement that he says he owes R500,000.
As Valencia Kai, we're done. The lesson for life is done. We'll do this again in 5 years. If you didn't learn in the past 15 minutes, forget it. We chose well. Jabuzwane.co.za. Why should we talk to you? What do you do?
I have been...
Did I say hello?
Did we?
It's fine. What do you do?
But we feel like we know each other. So like, I don't know. Like, we're talking like we're brothers from way back in the day. I've been a pastor since 2007.
Okay.
But I typically grew up in the Free State, poor, just like most of like South Africans. And I came to Pretoria or Joburg looking for, the Joburg dream.
That's right.
And that landed me here. And eventually I became a pastor in 2007. And then since then I've been counseling marriages and working in communities.
Okay.
Planted churches in different places, township in the city as well.
Yeah.
And so the trajectory of my life finds me where I'm in the midst of constantly dealing with people's problems.
Yeah.
And I realize even as a pastor that the problem is not God, it's not the devil, all of that. It's the way that we think.
Yeah.
That the meanings we attach to things is crucial. Like we've said now, what meaning do you attach to being weak?
Yeah.
What meaning do you attach to needing help? Bad others, for example, with men, what meaning do you attach to not knowing? Because most men have got a terrible relationship with knowledge.
Yeah.
And saying, I don't know.
Come on.
You know? And so...
Because the hero must know.
The hero must, of course. The hero must be the intellectual, the knowledgeable one. He must be the wise man that knows.
And it starts at the corner of the street. It starts with us hanging out. Yes, Lengomale. Yes. And deep down, he knows he doesn't know the song.
Exactly.
Just the song.
Or... like they're too high level. The next thing you know, boom.
Yeah, because this is too level.
Because this is this way.
I buy a king.
And but it's not really boring. It's like intellectually, I don't have the faculty.
And your ego doesn't allow you to ask. Hey, whoa. Because there's nothing wrong in saying whoa. Because we also like to teach.
No, of course.
And if you're surrounded by men who speak at that level. It's a great thing to say to them, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. Unpack this thing. I want to know. They will laugh for that second, but who's going to gain more?
The one who's asking questions. And you're right about that. We really have a terrible relationship with knowledge. And I realize that it's thinking that's the problem. So around 2019, I moved from the church into more, training and coaching.
Okay.
And it was a necessity. Things were really, really tough. I was not able to support my family and things. Something terrible had happened.
Oh, now in Joniza, because we're paying.
No, it's been busy. We're on. You know, we -3,000 in account. You know, red. We want to roast red letters with the stamps. They were coming to my house, and I'm like, I need to do something. I can't just be praying and trusting God for a miracle here. The miracle is that I've got a brain that is given me, and all these experiences that I've had with these people, and that's when I started the Mindset Development Institute. And the idea there is to really work on the categories of thinking that lead to people's outcomes, whether you're aware of it or not. And so my job lately is to sit down and to say, what makes sense about the nonsensical things people do?
Yeah.
What is the logic behind the nonsense?
Yes. And then if I
can unpack the logic behind the nonsense, I can be able to show where are the gaps in the logic that is nonsensical. And that is pretty much what I do with coaching, with marriage counseling.
What have you found? I'm curious now.
I found that ego is a problem. You know, the need to serve yourself, whether it's serving the need to know, the need to be the one that is special, the need to be the one that is on the top, the most powerful one, that's a big problem. And that is the premise that we look at life, and that is what determines the meanings we attach to things.
Yeah.
A simple thing, like I can come in here, young Buga Nyimangen. But because I'm feeling a little bit, I'm shorter than you.
Yeah.
And this guy, because Utibos, Banyan.
Territorial like that.
And already I have an attitude. Even as you're asking me questions, I'm already here.
Yeah.
I'm already asking, answering questions with a bit of like, of course I know.
Yeah.
Don't you dare ask me even more. So it's like that internal conversation I'm having with myself. Who do I think I am? What do I think it means? What do I think sitting in front of you even means?
Yeah.
If I'm here, I'm thinking, I got to impress T-Boss because you know what? Ish.
Yeah.
This guy, I've been listening to him for years.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's going to come out exactly that way. Trying to be impressive.
But
and
then...
In the strife with that.
And there's a good and the bad side of ego. What you just described is the bad side. The good side?
The good side is challenge yourself to know more than what you know. A big part is realizing, okay, if I don't know, and I've said I don't know, and I say I know, I'm harming myself. If I think I'm better than I am, I'm harming myself. I'll never show up as the best version of myself. I'll always shortchange my own life. Because I'm pretending that I'm knowledgeable in things, I'm competent in things, I have what I don't have. And as a result, if there is somebody that is able to help me, if there is somebody that can be able to fill the gap that I have, they won't even have the opportunity because they think I've got it covered. And let me tell you, I suffered from that, eh?
The ability to ask for help.
That's it.
A man's ego is healthy when he's able to face another man and says, help me.
And that's what helped me. Growing up without a father, growing up in an environment where there were no strong male models, when I came across certain African-American men in 2019 in the church environment, one of the things that I noticed is exactly what you're saying. This guy was asking a lot of questions, and I'm thinking, but he's American. How come he doesn't know these things?
And the
weird part is they always had a notepad and a pen. And another gentleman also that I stayed with, Nico Rutler, Afrikaans guy, he's 13 years older than me. He did the same thing. I'd have a conversation with them. They would have a notepad and a pen. And I'd feel so much under pressure to know what I'm talking about.
Because they are taking notes from all the things you're saying.
You know, and this thing would just like make me realize, oh my God, I better know what I'm talking about. And it became very important for me to know what I'm talking about. And to be comfortable asking questions. And to deal with my nervous system when the pressure of needing to know presents itself in my nervous system. And I feel like now I've got to say something because some important things have been said. I also have to say my thing. And to sit back and say, okay, hold on a second. If I want to get to the level of these guys, I need to ask questions. And I'm still struggling because of my own childhood insecurity issues.
Yeah.
But the awareness is such that I can now call myself to order when I get into certain rooms and realize, okay, I am with the ones here. You know, they are the ones.
Yeah.
And I need to allow them space so I can come out there a better person. And it's a challenge. It's a tough one. It requires a lot of humility to do that.
Self-management,
Exactly. Self-management, self-awareness. Don't just act on when your nervous system is feeling
or tensing up. Yeah.
Like, okay, be curious to know why. Why is it that I'm not liking this person? Not because of what they're saying, but because of how they're making me feel. What is it that is making me feel as though I should now attack them and say, you think you're clever than me? You think you're better? Well, you know that they are. It's because of what they know. Right.
Yeah.
And they shifting from that to say, wow, man, I wonder how they come to know what they know. Okay, how would they come to be where they are right now? And then being curious. And you know what I found very interesting? Most people don't have people being curious about them.
Yeah.
And it is actually super.
We all want to tell our story.
We all want to tell our story. I found that it's a superpower.
It is.
I found that, you know, in networking environments, when we have the most important person in the room and everybody wants to sell their story, I would come in and say, you said this. That's fascinating. Why? Really? Okay. I don't understand. Please just take me through how you got to that.
Yeah.
And I let them speak. And guess what? Many times I've tested these T-Boys. I wouldn't even ask them for their number. But as we're leaving, they'll be the one tugging my shirt and say, okay, do you want my number?
Because you're curious.
Because I'm the only one that is curious. I'm the only one that is asking them and that's interested in them. And that's another big thing with men is that there aren't many people who are interested in us for who we are, but many are interested in us for what we have.
T, you're having my brother there, Ujabu Zwane. Interesting conversations you're having. I'm Pindi Zwane, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, oh, my God. So, Nunu says, Jabu's not only talking to men. I've been feeling what he just explained about wanting to be the hero and not knowing how to dig a hole, how not to dig a hole for myself while helping, or rather performing at a higher level than what I know I'm capable of. Keep talking, Abuti. We are all listening and learning. Thank you, T, for bringing Jabu. You get it?
Exactly.
You say men have a victim mentality.
Yeah.
You throw punches, my brother. We are brothers. Why are we fighting?
There is an interesting phenomenon that I'm observing. It is true that men are going through the most. It is true that there isn't enough in society that is supporting men's issues. And it is true that, especially for those who are not in the know, who are not privileged, who don't have access to some of the things that you and I have access to, it's very easy to feel overwhelmed and to feel like, you know what, there is something working against me. There is some victim. Unfortunately, what's coming out, unfortunately, most of the time, it points to women. And it blames the rise of women in the workplace.
Emancipation issues.
Issues, and it's blaming the systems and all of that. But for me, that's the worst thing you can ever do to a human being, but especially to a man. For the man's productive energy to be used up in a way that can emancipate him, you don't sell the victim mentality to him. You sell to him what he has, what do you have in your hand? What skills do you have in your hand? What problems can you be able to solve? What questions are you not asking that you should be asking? Which people should you be talking to that you are not talking to? Why do you fear letting people know that, hey, this is where I'm at? And then getting real, tangible steps, knowledge, skills, experiences, access, resources to get yourself out of situations that you're in. I see this a lot. When a man's productivity is ruled by victimhood, two things happen.
Okay.
They can become a villain.
Yes.
Or they can become passive.
Yes.
And in their passivity, they become this miserable, unhappy person that isolates themselves, that becomes socially awkward, fearing people because they don't want to be exposed, because they're feeling ashamed. When they become a villain is what you see, where they start to then complain and point out to everything that is making them feel the way they do. They become a Luther, you know. They become a Luther. Most of those villains and heroes that you see in superheroes, they've gone through similar situations. One became a villain, one became a hero. And I'm afraid that victim mentality makes us more villains more than it does make us people who are healthy in society, who come up with solutions. Are things happening to us? Did things happen to us during apartheid? Did we not grow without our fathers? Yes, it is true. You know, 70% of us grew up without our fathers. We didn't have the best examples in terms of male figures in our lives.
Right.
That is very true. But here's another truth. Once you reach 18, in fact, once you reach 85, where your prefrontal cortex is fully developed, meaning that all your intellectual faculties are fully developed, emotions and everything, you can sit back and say, I grew up this way. This is what I saw that was wrong, that was not helpful. I don't know what the right thing is, but I can ask questions about what the right thing is, and I can learn the right thing, and I can be able to change my life.
Or, I don't like how I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the circumstances which I came from.
Exactly.
And at the core of that, a man who was supposed to be my father. Therefore, he has already set the bar so low.
So low.
I'm going to raise it up.
Exactly.
I'm going to be the opposite of him. Because already that is changing things, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you can decide. And I think what I see most of the time is that we have men, and I'll explain why, who would say, well, that's what I know. You know, there was a very famous DJ that when he was asked, do you think infidelity played a role in your marriage? Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, yes and no. And he goes on to further to say, you know, we saw the uncles and the khrotmans and all of that. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's saying is that I chose to select that part and take that on as a way of treating women. But what he's not telling us is that he grew up very poor. And yet he didn't choose poverty as a way. Why did he not choose poverty if poverty taught him to be poor? Why, when it comes to marriage, all of a sudden, I learned from my khrotman and my uncles. And then we have to confront ourselves and say, okay, why is it that I find myself leaning more towards certain dysfunctional behaviors?
Yes, sir.
And most of the time is because it's convenient. It makes things easier for me in that environment. And since that situation is realized, if I don't rise up and I don't do something for myself here as a man, I'm going to be in trouble. And that's why you'll find that many men can overcome poverty, but they struggle with relationships. Because in relationships, the woman will make it easier for them to continue with their dysfunctional behavior.
Sure.
Life is tough. People are looking for easy. Don't be the easy target. And this is the challenge. Many times in marriages, is that because our women are trained and they are conditioned to make things easier for everybody around them, they've made it so much easier for us to just not do what we're supposed to do.
I need an example there.
Contrary to popular belief, 80% of the marriages that come into my counseling session is women who are educated, who are earning well, who are really bringing in not just the money in the home, but they bring it in order and everything. They're really putting a lot. And then what happens? The men are like, okay, well, I'm not going to bring my end. I'm not going to help in the home. You're supposed to help in the home, bring in the money, raise the kids, and look after me. Mm. But it is my turn now to be the king. It's my turn now to be taken, to be looked after.
Meaning sit back and do nothing.
Sit back, literally sit back in the home, and the only thing that he'll bring in is the money that he's bringing in from work. And yet, in many instances, a lot of these women, they're earning more. They bring in even more money.
Mm.
The question is, if women have been able to rise themselves to that level where they realize that being financially disadvantaged is not good for them, how come we don't want to rise to the level where we're realizing that being emotionally illiterate is it's not helpful?
Sure.
We are emotionally literate, and it's messing around with us. We don't have good relationships. We've got the highest loneliness pandemic today.
True.
We've got the highest levels of suicide, right? But it's still, we are the most resourced. We still are. The men are still the ones that are leading in leadership,
yeah,
in business,
yeah,
in politics,
yeah,
in academia. How come we don't say, you know what, our brothers, our younger brothers, our sons, we're suffering. How come we don't take initiative in the same way that women have taken initiative to emancipate themselves, to do the same thing for the mental health pandemic? The society is not doing anything about us. Who the heck is society? Is that your sister again? Are you again looking to your mother to do something for you? I'm sorry, but you know, this is for me, it's like...
Oh, because, yeah...
Because my frustration, Sibos, lies in this. Whenever we set up these meetings, whenever we set up these events for men to come, guess what? They don't show up.
Yeah.
They don't show up.
Yes.
You can make it free. They don't show up.
Hmm.
But let me correct myself and say also, I'm seeing a change though. I'm seeing that even in my counseling, that there are a lot of younger generation of men that are taking up the sessions.
Listen, I must really come in there. And I've spoken about it in so many ways and so many times. Every time I see it, no one shows up like the current generation of fathers, man.
Exactly.
How hands-on they are, right? It's like having a child is like an accessory. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean it in a good way.
Absolutely.
They're the car wash, babysit there, and he's carrying the child and all of that. And they're boys. The song in the car wash buffet is an umdan. It's blooming song. Abu made it relax again. So to add to your point, yes, you're spot on.
No, it's definitely changed, and I agree. And I've done also the same videos so many times when I'm at the soccer, you know, plays and plays at school.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, look at how many men there are here. I swear, there are many times there are more men than there are women.
Yeah.
I've seen that many times.
Yeah. Same here.
You know, and I think the challenge for me then becomes this, Brother Tibos, how is it that we are able to step up and raise ourselves to the level of being these good fathers, but we're struggling in marriage? Because the marriage is a struggle. We have the highest divorce rates as a black community specifically.
Mm.
And I think I have a theory, and my theory is that that's because with kids, we know what we were missing.
It's easy to fill that void.
It's easy to sort of fill that void and to fix it. But with wives, we don't know what our mothers were going through. We only know what they gave us. So there isn't a longing to become a great husband. It's not a metric that we put as part of measuring ourselves in terms of our manhood.
Huh.
Which man uses being a great husband as a metric of being a great man?
Yeah. Yeah.
But we will use being a great father.
Yeah.
Being a great son.
Mm-hmm.
Being a great friend. Being there for your buddies. But let's be honest, brothers. How many of us think to myself, I want to be the best husband in the world? What does that look like? I have no clue because I've never seen it.
Exactly.
But I'm very curious to know how the heck in the world I can get that going.
This is Jabu Zwani. We'll be right back.
On the street and on the air.
Hi there, my name is Jabu Zwani and I'm sipping the best tea in the city.
Kaya 959.
Yo, Brati, I'm not a man, ne? But I can relate to what Jabu Zwani is saying towards the men that I've been with. Like, I can understand what he's saying. Yo, this guy. I hope the men are listening. The men are listening. This guy. Oh, wow.
Jabu Zwani, it's taking Omalala, Kamanaka. Yo, Natova Navakatle, Uncle T. Iguya, I. In humble to a point, I rather not worry anything about me. I rather just carry everything on me. Just hurry and ask a feel at that bed because I can't cope it. Please, I can't cope it too soon. No. You know, this week I think he said to me, if I'm meant to suffer and I'm meant to struggle, so be it. It's fine. I will live with it. But you know me, I'm not a person that asks for help. Can I go and go to Rutlok arrive now?
I so wish many men could listen to Mr. Zwane and learn how to approach a relationship. It's not that we as women do not appreciate. We just need a person to lead us and to guide us. And I like the fact that he said men should learn to say no. I found myself where I also suggested stuff not knowing the pocket of the person that I'm dating. So I so wish all men could be listening to him. They could listen or follow his pages and learn more on how to approach a relationship, and they can see that it is doable as long as they lead well.
Now, thank you, Kandalani, for that. When we talk about following you, where are these videos that you're talking about? Where do we find them? How do we see them? How do we, and which platforms?
On YouTube, there's Men of Change.
Men of Change.
Men of Change podcast. Okay. I think we've just put up 4 episodes on there.
Mm-hmm.
I do have guests. The plan is to have guests, and then also I do monologues on some of these issues.
I love your monologues, by the way.
No, thank you so much.
Yeah.
On TikTok, I'm at Jabu Zwani Talks.
Mm-hmm.
Same also with on Instagram.
Mm.
And on Facebook, it's Jabu Zwani Speaks.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely shall find it.
Thank you.
You talk about, you say it's the 12th what?
12 Battles of a Man.
What is that? Is that a book? What is it?
It's a program that I'm working on as a book.
Okay.
I've proposed that to different corporates.
Yeah.
You know, to really do sort of what happened with women. Where in the workplace, the programs that really spoke to issues of women. You know, there are programs that speak to perimenopause, menopause,
You
know, cancer, all different illnesses that affect women. But there isn't much that speaks to what is affecting men.
Mm.
And the 12 Battles is really talking to, you know, the soft issues, like the struggle with identity, for example.
Mm.
You know, like if you haven't raised by your father, then how do you know how to mirror yourself if nobody was there in your formative stages to mirror that for you?
Mm.
And I find that if we don't know who we are, then we struggle to find our own skills, our own talents, our own worth.
Yeah, yeah. You feel like your center has moved. Yeah,
your center. One man said to me, used a beautiful word. He said he feels like he's floating.
Yes.
So he finds it difficult to get grounded.
That's right.
Because he doesn't really know what is it that is supposed to be grounding him.
Mm-hmm.
And other battle is the battle of with lust, you know.
Okay.
And the lust for me is not, it's longings that you develop as a kid that in the future they become lust because they start to control you.
Yeah.
Lust for power, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I say this, most men, you can use your talents and your skills to get to the top of the mountain, but it is your lusts that are going to bring you down. In fact, your biggest fall.
Sure.
Your biggest fall lies not at the bottom of the mountain. It lies for you
at the top
of the mountain. If you don't know how to navigate those small spaces that require you to be more mature, more intellectual, more self-regulated, more self-governed and disciplined, you are going to lose everything that you've worked very hard for. In fact, worse, you're going to lose everything that both you and your wife have worked hard for.
Yeah.
And your kids will pay a massive price for that.
Mm. Give me the last one, because we don't want to give it away. These are just snippets.
And the big one, of course, I mean, is the battle of relationships. Mm. It's a battle of relationships. We've got a terrible relationships with ourselves as men.
Yeah.
Because, again, we didn't really have anybody that mirrored that back to us, especially in the form of a father that is present. And many of us have got that father wound. And part of that is that the lack of feeling validated.
Mm.
Feeling validated, meaning that you do so much more, and the more you do, the less you get validated.
Yeah.
The more you feel unvalidated.
You are not seen, you are not heard, you are not enough.
Yes, and you never got it as a kid. And so you don't even know. And when it comes, here's a quick one. Here's a terrible part about it. When you finally meet a woman that validates you.
Yay!
Guess what? It doesn't present well on your nervous system. You don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's shocking.
You don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And because it makes you feel uncomfortable, guess what? You ignore it. You dismiss it.
Mm.
So the very person that could have come actually to help you to become whole and to heal
is the very person you reject.
Is the very same person that's going to pay the biggest price for giving you the best of themselves. And you're going to be continuing running and laboring for those ones that never loved you. Because you're thinking now that you've got the money, you can go and buy back the love that they owe you.
Hey.
Except they don't even know they owe you the love. And so you keep on paying for them to pay you back, but it never happens. That's why you're tired.
I jabu hamba. It's fine. We'll see you on the socials. I ask ngapheli qiniselengaka on a Friday. Ah. I nami, why did I bring you on a Friday? Maybe on a Thursday so we can sleep over it and come Friday numb it down with something. Jabuzwani.co.za, that's where we find you.
Yes, sir.
We click on there, we find your website, but who should engage with that?
People who are struggling in their marriages, men who are really looking to battle, to find tools to fight these battles.
Yeah.
Single mothers, we've got young men that are at home, that they're stuck with, that they don't know what to do with them. That's where I can be very helpful with the programs and the solutions I've got.
Don't go, because there's a blind spot that has a couple here fighting, and I would like to hear your view about it.
Sure.
News first.
On the street and on the air.
Hi there, my name is Jabu Zwani, and I'm sipping the best tea in the city.
Kaya 959.
The best tea in the city, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to midday, on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.